It's full time at the Abbey Stadium, and Cambridge have beaten Forest Green by 2-0. All they can do now is wait and hope that they have done enough. They have done their bit, and I can tell you they can celebrate because it's all over at Burton. Burton Albion 0, MK Dons 0. Cambridge have survived in League One, and MK Dons and Morecambe have been relegated. Look at the joy! You'd think they'd won the league. Well, they have in their hearts and minds, haven't they? What looked like a fairly hopeless task. They were third bottom going into the final game today. They were the outsiders to stay up. They knew they had to win their game and hope other scores would go their way. And that is just what has happened. And Cambridge United will spend a third successive season in League One. They stuck with Mark Bonner.
As a great man once said, we came, we saw, and we stayed up by the skin of our teeth. And now it's time to gloss over any of the negatives and hand out some awards. Welcome along then, everyone, to one of the biggest nights in the UTAS calendar. It's awards night, and the infamous and prestigious UTAS End of Season Awards are upon us again, where we get the honour of reviewing the season from start to finish and dishing out some of our own metaphorical silverware to the best and worst from the 2022-23 season. And what a season it's been. My name is Julian Roberts. I'll be your host for this fabulous evening of festivities, trying to guide you through four people discussing one very good month and seven very bad ones. First up, opposite me, Jordan Warland. Now that we've got no football season for a few months, what are you planning on doing with your Saturdays? Because I know Matt Caspel, who can't be here today, is planning on taking on something called parenthood.
He's not dead.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how he gets on with his parenthood malarkey, though, because I don't think it's really affected him so far.
My wonderful partner has a lot of things in the bank that she wants to be doing over the summer, such as going for a walk on her own, going to the cinema on her own. There's a lot of stepping up to do, and a very, just a long, long list of household chores to get through. So it's a pretty boring summer.
Yeah.
I like how in your intro you said it's a big night. In true UTAS style, we all prepared for the big night by having semi-big nights ourselves.
Yeah.
In preparation, some more than others.
Tom Walker, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, I feel marvellous.
Still celebrating from FGR?
Yeah, something like that. The dust hasn't quite settled yet, it's fair to say. It is worth noting as well that we're obviously all sat in a room together, which hasn't happened too often over the last few years.
Yeah.
And this is very much the starter and the main course. We'll be smashing the granny out of the World Beer Tent and the Beer Festival. So we look forward to that, and it'll be good to.
I like how at this award show we've not been sat at the back of the room like
at the other awards.
I've even forgotten the name of the awards that we're at.
The FSA,
prestigious.
Not invited back next year now.
Yeah,
forgot the awards show.
They're not listening.
Yeah, they're definitely not.
We had to like feign an interest in the Bradford City fanzine for like an entire evening.
Oh, he was a lovely bloke.
Could be in our league next season.
No, they can't.
Playoffs are good, aren't they? That's the sort of knowledge and insight you'll get from this awards show. Next up from the awards panel, we've got Jack Swindlehurst. Jack, have you ever won an award yourself?
I got most likely to go to prison at my school awards.
It's not an award, that is it?
That's about it.
Who gave you that award?
Not sure if that's a joke or
head
not.
Head teacher, I think. But nice to be here on this nice evening before the beer festival. And yeah, I'm just buzzing that we stayed up and ready to analyse the season.
Yeah.
Julian, can we just check in with you? Are you okay? Because
Well, do you know what?
You kind of missed a sort of important moment of the season.
No, if I did.
Weather's
really
good in the States this time.
Weather was really good. Good. I tell you what, though. The thing is, you know, everyone keeps going on about how we survived. But I left the season and we'd just beaten Accrington, but I think we're still in the relegation zone at that stage. So I think that was the end of the season there. So, you know, a year in League Two awaits.
I like how Tom has passed the mantle of like missing the big moment.
Okay, well, okay.
From Ironside's goal to you missing.
Are we all confirming that mine was worse?
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
He was in the ground.
That does kind of make it a bit worse.
Did you get back for the VAR check?
Yeah.
So yeah, he basically saw the goal.
No, he didn't, yeah, though. He missed the moment.
Yeah, but he saw the celebrations of departure. I mean, you were in a different time zone.
I was on the other side of the world.
I heard the celebrations.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I didn't hear the celebrations. I woke up at 4 a.m. Funny story, actually. I woke up at 4 a.m. to watch a game. Not really. I mean, you analysed it very well on the pod when you went through it. I wasn't really nervous. I wasn't really even particularly excited. I was just like, oh, I'll just watch it. I was pretty resigned to going down, as I think we all were going into that game. But obviously, I was watching it in such a sort of weird, like, sterile environment, lying in a hotel room bed, watching it on a laptop with headphones on. As the game goes on, you know, like, I had a nap at half time, 2-0 up, fine, yeah, but we're probably still going down. 10 minutes to go when obviously Exeter are winning, and MK is still drawing. I'm like, oh, I need to go pace. So I went out into the hallway. It's like 5:30 in the morning, so I'm hotel room in LA. And I like put the laptop on just outside the lift. So there's like this little table. I put the laptop down. I've got my Cambridge shirt on and like some fucking shorts on and massive headphones on. And I'm watching the game. The final whistle goes. And then the final whistle goes at Exeter, because you were all on the pitch, but I was still listening to the radio and they were still playing at Exeter. So I was like,
another 15 minutes.
I'm not celebrating yet. Yeah. That final whistle goes, and I'm running up and down the corridor, going, yes, get in there. Get back to the lift. I'm still like, yes. Turn to my left, there's some bloke with like 4 Starbucks coffees, gets out, just sees some deranged lunatic. And then I get a nice FaceTime from Tom and Matt on the pitch. But look, honestly, if I had to sacrifice one game for 46 more games in League One, I'd have taken it. And I'm glad you all had a brilliant day. But the most important thing is that we stayed up. So, Joe, Tom missing Joe's goal is still worse?
No, sorry, you're not getting that one, mate.
I feel very vindicated, to be honest.
Yeah, fair.
It's been a long, hard year and a half or so. And
this is going to be a couple of years until someone misses something equally as big.
I don't know. I feel like yours is worse, but I still think we'll come back to the Ironside one. I think the joke has settled in.
Tom's is funnier. Mine's worse, right? I've missed a pretty iconic moment. Tom's is funny because he was in the fucking ground. Okay, should we get on to these awards? So this is how today's show is going to work. We've got 7 categories to run through, looking at all the best and worst aspects of the season. The 4 of us are going to chat through our suggestions, and then we've employed the help of a selection of UTAS favourites to get their suggestions too. Thank you very much to Owen and Caspel from the UTAS Parish for sending theirs. And then we've got Matt Gooding, Matt Ramsey, Max Rushton, Russ Greaves and Doug Shulman, who have sent their voice notes through as well. So thank you very much to them. You'll hear a bit more from them later on. As with most awards, the most nominated answer will win the category. And if there's no clear winner, then I will just decide, because life's unfair. Before we do that, I think we need to talk through last season's pre-season predictions. I had the honour of going through the pre-season preview pod yesterday. There's some brilliant stuff in here. Let's go through the hot takes first. Jack, should we start with you? I think you know what yours is.
I think I do know what mine is, and it's an absolute shocker.
It's not great. It's not brilliant. No. United will pick up more points away than at home. Tom, you said he liked it a lot. Was your comment on that?
You can like something without backing it, I think.
Yeah, 31 points at home, 15 away. Third worst away record in the division.
I've never really claimed to know much about football. I think I'm here
You were talking about supercomputers on that.
Was I?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Swindle's big data.
Yeah.
My one, I think we all know about, Simper 30 plus league appearances. He made 9, so not great. There was a period where
It
was on for a second.
So I think that makes mine better than yours, because mine was only half wrong, whereas yours was a third wrong.
Two thirds wrong.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. We had an interesting chat about centre mids after that. George, you called that we needed another centre mid.
Get me in the recruitment
and
team.
And you also called that Bonner wouldn't sign one. So, you know.
The Oracle.
No, wait until his prediction.
Oh.
And Tom said you were happy with going in with that 4 in centre mid.
No, he never said that.
He did.
He never said that.
He did. Go back and listen to it.
The look on that man's face.
I've had about 40 weeks of you telling me how bad a decision it was.
You said, at this time, I'm pretty happy going in with those 4 centimetres.
Get off the pod.
I don't know what to say about that. To be honest with me. It's taken 5 years and over 100,000 listens, but I'm literally speechless.
This is not helping the hangover.
Yeah. George, your prediction was that we'll lose a major asset in Jan.
Saiku Jan.
Oh no. And Tom, to be fair, to vindicate you a second, this is, I mean, it's hardly a hot take, but you said that Bonner will have interest from elsewhere at some point, more than just rumours, something concrete.
Well, we all remember Rotherham.
We all remember Rotherham. Wasn't in Jan, but, you know, fair enough. Probably the easiest prediction of the year, I'd say.
People were sniffing after Nibs in January, so that was
they were. No, at the time, I don't think yours was a bad prediction at all.
Mine was quite a safe one, though.
Tom, I really liked yours, mate. You gave two. You said, we'll score a late winner in front of Ipswich's fans and Nibs will celebrate in front of Pink Jacket Man, who will react so badly, ends up getting arrested and walked around the pitch in front of the Hughes fans. Quite specific. Nibs did score in front of Ipswich fans.
He did, yeah. But we didn't see that guy getting carted around the front of the NRE, so if anything, we've lost there. Yeah.
But we weren't at Portman Road, where they were also broadcasting it, because it's such a big game for them.
Good point. Could have happened there. Around the pitch there.
Could have happened there, and we just missed it.
Good point. Your other prediction was, same as last year, FA Cup third round, we'll beat Premier League opposition away.
Ooh.
Yikes. Struggled past Curzon Ashton, lost to Grimsby.
Grimsby?
Yikes.
Did beat some Prem teams on the way, though. So,
hello.
Semi-correct.
Right side of the draw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not having that, Jordan. I personally hold myself.
You're not
to
having that,
standard.
But you are having four centre midfielders.
That was before you... Adam May's leg broke in half.
More on that later. Cast prediction: Ibsen Rossi, top scoring defender. Oh. Zero goals. Owens Lancaster to outscore Ironside 4-6. Owens right to an extent that Ironside might not have the prolific season that he had last year. Matt Gooding, Okadina would be a championship player by the end of the season. Couldn't even make
stinker.
Matt Ramsey, three different players to get double figures. Smith, Nibs and Ironside. He also said, this is going to be the year. This is interesting. This is going to be the year that we hear people say Bonner out if we're 21st or 22nd in the league for an extended period of time. And he said, even if United finish bottom this season, then absolutely no way is he under threat or should he be under threat. There's no way this team this year will be a rubbish team, but that won't stop a few people saying Bonner out after a few games without a win.
He was doing so well until that last point about not being rubbish.
A few games without a win.
I'll 6 leave that, months, right?
I'll leave that to hang.
I've got to say, you know, we talk about Caspel's league prediction in a second, but Doug also said that Bonner will be targeting a top half or probably top 10 finish, and that the Ewes will beat Posh at London Road 1-0. Neither of which came true.
We did score in a 1-0 win at London Road, but obviously not our
wrong
win.
End. Yeah. Top scorers, Ironside, Tom Jordan, Cass went for him. And George said, George says, this is a quote. I constantly get told that me and Tom talk the most sense on the podcast, so it's no surprise that we've both gone for HMS Ironside.
Do you get told that?
I get told that.
By who?
I also get told we're both very good looking. Thanks for listening, Mum.
I'm blind and deaf.
I've not had that feedback quite yet. I'll be interested to hear your source.
And then Tom said, you've got to back Ironside, disappointed in the people that haven't. Well, me and Owen went for Smith, so don't worry about it. Player of the season, George, you went for Tracy.
Oh, God. He had an okay start.
Tom and Owen, Lancaster. He had a good season. Oh, Swindle, Okadina.
Stinky.
Stinky. Jules, me and Cass went for Nibs. Fine. League position, Casper went for ninth. Because I don't know what he was on at the time. Jordan Tom went for 19th. Fair play.
Nice.
Fair play.
Talked the most sense on the pod, that's why.
Talked the most sense on the pod. Owen and Swindon, 13th. I went for 17th. Points against Posh. Tom, 6. Owen Swindle, sorry. Oh, and Owen, sorry. Six, three of you went for 6. Jordan, Cass, 4. Me, 2. So no one actually got that right. How does everyone feel about those predictions?
It's kind of exposing us as the frauds we actually are. But yeah, I think, I mean, it is what it is. You know, you put your neck on the line when we do something like this, and sometimes it hits and sometimes it misses. And like Cambridge's season, for the most part, we missed for the most part.
I think those predictions just highlight something we'll talk about later about certain players dropping off compared to last season.
Here we go.
Your Ironside, your Tracy's and so forth. But I'll save that for later.
Should we get into the awards? Let's get into the awards, boys. So, 7 categories. We're going to start with a fairly basic one. The Goal of the Season Award. I'm going to start, of the 4 of us, I'm going to give Tom the first nomination, if you could.
I thought you could say Tom scored. I was like, no, you didn't.
Yeah,
I am going to go for Marco Sambastian.
No, I'm pretty sure Swindle called that at the exact time, according to the end of
this
season.
This can't be true.
I did. Ask anyone in the NRA. Anyone. I shouted it.
Anyone.
Tom, you were in the
Ask
NRA.
Mark Bonner.
I was in the NRA too. Was Bonner in the NRA? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, should we just have a really quick note while we're speaking about Bonner? Should we just mention what...
Because everyone will be wanting one.
Yeah.
The little interaction that you had with him on Twitter, I think it just shows the class of the man before we get into these awards.
So we've always supported Mark Bonner staunchly.
Always
on this podcast.
Staunchly. Never had an issue with the man.
Never called for his head. I was having a tough day the other day and vocalised it on Twitter like I do all of my life. And Marky Bonner just sent me a message with a video of us staying up saying, "Tough day, ?" Sorry to hear that. Hope a quick rewatch of this cheers you up. I hope you're good. Thanks for being a top supporter of the team.
Lies. Questionable.
Absolutely.
And sports like four other teams.
And great work on the pod reaching 100K.
That
cheers.
Was all you.
Take some time out and we can do it all again next year. I fucking hope not. look after yourself.
He didn't say I fucking hope
not. No, I said that's Jack Swindlehurst speaking. But no, it just shows the class of the man. And yeah,
brilliant.
We're lucky to have him.
Yeah, brilliant.
And I take
brilliant.
Back everything I said.
He's winning no award though.
Well, he's been nominated for a couple by one person. Tom. Apologies, we interrupted. You were full flow. Marcus Van Basten.
Yeah, what a goal. There's not loads more to say on it than that, I guess. Yeah.
He loves a screamer in like the last home game of the season, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does.
On that sort of occasion, you need your big players to sort of have those moments. And, you know, he obviously came in clutch, really, in that last month of the season. I think, you know, we obviously talked about the game in detail sort of shortly afterwards, but I think that was the match winning shot, wasn't it, really? Because after that, the game was pretty much done, I think, to all intents and purposes. But I think for me, like, there's two things about it and they're kind of linked, I guess. But the first is just, it's just like the technique of it. Because not only is it on the volley, which is obviously difficult in itself, but the angle's really tight, and I think to beat the keeper at his sort of far post from that angle is obviously a skill in itself, but also it's on his weaker foot. Lancaster obviously got the assist for that, but it wasn't like a really cleanly picked out pass. It was kind of not quite at the right height for him, and he sort of improvised, and obviously the importance of the goal is a big thing, but I think in terms of just pure technique alone and pure sort of quality, I think that's really the standout moment or the standout goal for me. But obviously, I guess in theory, kind of cemented our survival. So
It's one of those goals, Julian, where you just stand back and go, "I'm so grateful I'm in the stadium to watch this live and not being in a different continent for it."
The best place to watch that goal, I would say, which none of you had the experience of, which I'm a bit gutted for you boys, is on a laptop lying in a hotel bed. That's what I would have said.
I wish I was there, obviously, because I would have been with you. But I do think there's something quite poignant about that pick. I didn't pick it myself, but I think it like kind of a little bit of a redemption story. You know, the second half of the season, we'll talk about it later, I'm sure. But you know, the Grimsby game stood out, and we commented after that about Smith and his future with the club. And he, to be fair to him, he came back and he played and he pulled out goals that kept us up, and that on the final day is kind of pretty good.
And obviously he delivered the goals, but you only had to watch his performances to see how much effort he was putting in as well, like chasing after every ball, like even at Plymouth when we were up against it, possession wise he was putting all the hard yards in as well as actually putting it in the back of the net. Swindle, you said you hadn't picked that one. What have you gone for?
So I've gone a bit little more simple. I've just gone for a goal that I thought was really good.
Oh, right.
you didn't think that last one was good?
No, goal of the season, mate.
Oh, right, I just mean like technique-wise. I think it's like, from a football purist point of view, it's a very good goal. Lancaster versus Fleetwood. Just a player putting it onto his left foot and banging it in the back of the net, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So early in such a big game as well, that sort of added to it.
We have a bit of a weird view from the NRE. Obviously, you won't...
Mate, you've read my mind, what I was going to say. Tom's pick, your pick, Julian's pick, all three of those, terrific view from the South Habit.
Mm.
So who's the real winner?
And actually, I think actually almost all of these picks, the home ones, they're all scored in that goal.
Yeah.
Like Matt Ramsey's suggestion while we're here, Tracy versus Shrewsbury.
Great goal.
That's at that end. Although maybe better view from the NRE for that one.
Yeah,
no, on the left,
Yeah.
Also, with Lancaster's, because we weren't quite behind him because he cuts him from the right.
Yeah.
But you do get a good view from behind it, and you see the ball bend into the back of the net, and it's just see that net ripple, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Stop saying
that's that. My new catchphrase. Yeah.
So we've got Lancaster against Fleetwood from Swindle. Tom's gone Marcus Van Basten against FGR, which has also been voted for by Doug Shulman and Russ Greaves. So obviously a fairly obviously popular one. I've gone for Harvey Nibbs against Ipswich, which was also Matt Gooding's pick. I mean, what a finish, the swaz on that.
The swerve, yeah.
You talk about view. I mean, you must have had an insane view of that because we couldn't see the swaz from the direction we were in, the view we had. But yeah, brilliant goal, important game, probably one we should have doubled our lead in from Big Joe a bit later on, you know, sort of add into your top scorer pick there, should have done. But anyway, we move on. Few other nominations. As I said, Matt Ramsey, Tracy versus Shrewsbury. He's actually said the best goals he saw was Bonds for Cheltenham. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was the opener in that game.
Southampton end again, yep.
Yeah. Again, yeah, you're right, yeah. And then Tyler Goodrum for Oxford in the away game, way back when,
What a weird result that was come the end of the season as well, right? At the time, we were all disappointed we lost that game because we had a good account of ourselves. And we just sort of wrote it off as like, oh, we should have got points, but we lost to a good Oxford team that will do bits this season. And actually, there was a point in the season where you're like, wow, that injury time goal that beat us could actually send us down.
That point.
Never thought in that glorious sunny August afternoon that would be like a relegation scrap come the end of the season.
And by the same token, you could argue that the opening game of the season was the most important game of the season, beating MK on the opening game of the season, which obviously at the time we knew was big.
Another Nibs goal at the Southampton end. God.
Nibs goal at the Southampton end. There's a lesson to be learned here, isn't there?
I wonder how many people have turned off because I've mentioned Southampton 7 times in the last minute.
A suggestion that's had 2 votes from Max Rushton and Casper is Sam Smith at Bolton. Max has got... let's listen to Max's... voice note here because he's got quite unique experience of a lot of these goals. So let's have a listen to that.
Hello, Under the Abbey Stand. Max Rushton here, Cambridge United's most famous fan after Mark Sagger's half of Groove Armada. I think maybe one of Pink Floyd, probably someone from Dad's Army. They go to school in Cambridge. Anyway, I'm sure it's Stephen Hawking. There are probably a few others. I've been asked some questions, so here are my answers. Goal of the season. I might have mentioned this before, but I'm in Australia, obviously, and for the Saturday games, I don't stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. And so I consume quite a lot of the games first thing on a Sunday morning, quite often sitting on the toilet, by getting to the Cambridge United Twitter page, closing my eyes and then scrolling back really quickly. And, you know, I might accidentally scroll back 2 days. So then I scroll back to kickoff and then slowly doing my own minute by minute. And so quite a lot of the season was pretty bleak because, you know, then it just sort of peters out. You're losing 72nd minute. Then there's nothing. And it says, oh, full time. Use unlucky in defeat to Charlton or whatever. But the goal of the season, the best moment was the equaliser against Bolton because I'd given up hope and we're in that moment where, oh, we needed something. And I think it was the moment where I believed. And you see the goal gif. So like it kind of spoils the surprise, but at the same time, it's just so exciting to see. For those of you who don't have Twitter, this is completely meaningless. And then it just said goal and it was like the 94th minute. And I thought, okay, maybe we've got a chance.
So that's Max there, sitting on the toilet, watching Sam Smith's goal go in against Bolton. I'm not sure if that's better or worse than being in a hotel room in LA for the last game of the season.
Reminds me of the promotion season. One of the games, it might have been like Mullin, was it Walsall, the last minute goal? But there was definitely a game in the promotion year where you... Because obviously we're all watching on iFollow, so we're slightly behind. So Twitter was ahead. and Swindle, I should probably say your name, not just point because people aren't in the room, but you had gone to the toilet and then like messaged our group saying, oh my God, we've scored. And everyone's like, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And then it went in.
Love a toilet goal.
Yeah, love a toilet goal. I missed so many goals in that season.
In the toilet?
just walking away from the laptop, you know, having it on iFollow and then just come back and we've scored or conceded. I mean, you know, I'm a pretty rubbish fan anyway.
Well, look, I've always advocated for watching games on laptops anyway myself. So that's good. You know, me and Max are in the same school of thought there. Anyway, let's get to the winner. Jordan.
It's me. It's another South Habin end goal. Shock. Last year when we did these awards, I went with a sentimental pick over an actual proper pick where it's like a good team goal or a good technical goal or a worldie of a strike. And for the second year in a row, I have stuck with that tactic and I stuck with the same goal scorer, a man whose name you're probably going to hear quite a bit over the course of this award show because he had an all right season come the end of it. My goal of the season wasn't a particularly glorious goal, was a rather scrappy one. Owen likes to point out that it was a massive foul by Morrison in the build-up. But my goal of the season was dunk at home to Peterborough for numerous reasons. Not just who scored it, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about him in detail, I'm sure. But sticking to the goal, it was just the rush of seeing it hit the back of the net. You know, we had been under pressure for parts of that first half. Like, we competed well, but it always felt like sort of openings around the goal where sort of Peterborough were probably edging the better chances. It was always going to be a tough game. It was a game that for a long time, a lot of us thought we're going to get relegated by a defeat here. At that point in the season, I still thought we were going down, and that kind of added an edge to the game itself of, well, we'll go down fighting. At least we can get some pride here and maybe, you know, ruin their promotion party and so forth. But yeah, just such a moment seeing the ball hit the back of the net. Goal of season for me, dunk at home to Borough.
We can talk about every game where we gain points of being like integral and so important. You know, you referenced already MK Dons, for example. But that game, at the point of the season, like you said, a few weeks before, we could have been relegated in that game.
Yeah.
Winning that game, and I know the momentum didn't carry on faultlessly, but that is like such a huge result as well, like the importance of that goal. And as you said, in the last couple of months, Dunk's performances, like, it did just turn the season around.
Yeah, it's a really good point because I forget how many points we picked up over the last 9 games, but within that run of games we got points against Borough, who finished in the top 6, and you know, coming back to the Smith goal at Bolton, we got points against Bolton, both teams who ended up in the playoffs.
Exactly. It's massive in its, I think this is one that we picked sort of just for how like symbolically good it is. It's not, you know, I don't think anyone's saying it's a better goal technique wise than any of the other suggestions, Tracy Smith.
Way off all the others. Way off.
It's barely got any technique to it. It's right place, right time. But he was there, and it's no accident.
I think I remember last year picking him for goal of the season because it was his first goal in like hundreds and hundreds of games.
The one against Donny.
Yeah. And then this season he's just gone and scored like, what, 3?
Well, in the last month.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like,
goal machine.
Absolute goal machine. So there we go. Goal of the season is Harrison Dunk against Peterborough United.
Congrats, Harrison, clapping myself
for my pick.
Big round of applause, everyone. Okay, next award, Hero of the Season. Tom, I'm going to start with you again. do you want to introduce yours?
You're my hero, Tom, for struggling.
Yeah, I think I've taken a slightly different tack to you guys with my...
And to be fair, Hero of the Season, it's up to you. Its interpretation is completely up to you. And you've interpreted it in a very Tom Walker unique style.
Yeah, look, we're a few minutes into this and... we've not mentioned it yet, so let's get it out now.
Yeah.
My hero of the season is Will Norris. I mean, look, let's just get it.
Always
right
are you.
It. I mean, I'll be honest, on that Friday evening, seeing Posh absolutely destroy Sheffield Wednesday at London Road, you know, they've guaranteed themselves a place at Wembley for the playoff final. What transpired in the second leg was, look, we're going to talk about a lot of memorable things that happened on our side. And, you know, obviously, you know, staying up's great and pitch invasions and, you know.
Especially if you're there.
All that sort of stuff is obviously great. But I will say that this was very, very close second to staying up and one of my favourite days and sort of games of the season, because our boy Will Norris put in one hell of a shift. The penalty shootout, he didn't even look like he was trying. he went the wrong way every single time, I think. And
the same player who once saved two penalties in injury time.
Yeah. this is also going to come back to bite us when he signs for us in the summer.
Well, yeah. I was going to ask, like, who would sign him? Because, Tom, you've been making the case over the last couple of days that we should.
Yeah, well, I think, I'm not criticising him at all, you know. He's my hero of the season.
No, that's for the next category, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's so perfect that it was Will Norris in goal for that, you know. I can't really articulate any better than that, to be honest. But, I mean, look, I think there's probably a more than fair chance that maybe conversations have been happening. I don't know. I don't know that, but there's a few things that sort of add up, that suggest that it could kind of make sense. But
do you think he'd come back after the treatment he got?
Yeah, I think
the NRE.
So.
Yeah. I think he would. Yeah,
I think so. He's still got always a U in his Twitter bio, so that made him sweeter.
Forgot his login.
Yeah, did make it even sweeter, didn't it?
I mean, like it. This is veering a little bit away from my hero of the season, and you know, just sort of, I guess, just getting a boot in while we can, I guess. It was hilarious, wasn't it?
It was incredible. The funniest thing, and we were saying this, is that they went one up in injury time, in extra time. Sorry,
yeah.
It's the fact that the collapse was done, and then they managed to somehow pull themselves back into the lead somehow, and then still went on to lose the game.
But did you watch the game?
No, I was listening to it on BBC Cambridge.
I was in America.
Actually. Great, yeah. Think about it, yeah.
But it wasn't that Sheffield Wednesday played amazingly. They attacked, but Posh were fucking horrendous.
Yeah, yeah.
They looked so rubbish.
Yeah.
Their whole outlook for the game of just going into it and being like, oh, we'll just defend and just contain. It's like, why do that? What? Just go play your normal game. And if you lose like 3-1 or 4-2 or something like that, you still go through.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Give that manager a 3-year contract extension, is what I say.
The goal coming so late as well, like the fourth goal, deep in Fergie time. That's what I'm saying. That must have been a real punch in the stomach. Well, oh. It's all public record. We're not going to have to pass something to the Utah
right, so department. That's enough. Max Rushton's gone for a similar sort of train of thought to you. He's gone for Darren Moore as his hero of the season. By all accounts, a great man, not just for that. Let's get back to the U's. Let's go to a suggestion that me and Matt Gooding have put forward, which is Sam Smith, but specifically Sam Smith, British Summertime, or more generally, the clocks for going forward an hour. I think we're both along the same lines here, which is probably a wider point on the player performances in GMT more than anything. I had a quick look back. You know, we picked up 14 points between the start of October and the end of March. Now, I'm well aware that GMT doesn't start until the end of October, but just to illustrate the point, that's 14 points over 27 games. Like, our drop-off was horrendous in that period. And you look at Smith himself, you know, we talked about how important he was at the end in this last month, and not single-handedly, but a massive, massive part of why we've ended up staying up. So that's why me and Matt Gooding have both gone for BST Sam Smith. Matt Ramsey has gone for Paul Barry, I think just for faith and loyalty, which I think we advocated for.
I think every year that we don't go bust, Paul Barry is a contender for this award.
Good point. Owen's gone for Mark Bonner, who we've already mentioned.
I contemplated going for Mark Bonner, but then I remembered he had the opportunity to re-sign Wes in the summer and didn't. So
yeah, that's going to be a big X.
What has he done for us, really?
he could always put it right this year, Jord.
Absolutely.
Get him out of retirement. Come on.
Also, the start of the season, in the summer, he ignored our tweet when we were in London to go for a pint. So I think that was kind of like a sign of things to come.
Yeah, it's fair enough. That,
it's bad, I think it's now bad for my mental health.
I think he's now trying to rectify it by trying to power up with Swindle over there.
Oh, well, look, you know, fair enough. No, nobody's perfect. Casper's gone for, I don't even know how to say this guy's name, the Burton keeper, Craig McGillivray. Honourable mention to Bonner and poor Barry. I mean,
is it worth pointing out that it's not the Burton keeper that played against us? It's a different one, yeah.
Correct. Yeah,
more on them later.
Yes. Yeah, correct. Then the winner of the Hero of the Season award, which has been voted for by Doug Shulman, Russ Greaves, Jack Swindlehurst, Jordan Warland. I will let Doug Shulman and Russ Greaves introduce who this person is.
Hello, I've been asked to provide by those lovely chaps under the Abbey Stand pod, which was brilliant this season, chaps, by the way. Thank you very much for all the entertainment. But I've been asked to pull together one or two highlights and perhaps lowlights of the season just passed, which thankfully for the U's ended all well, a good, and everyone was happy and all the stars aligned. So that was good news. The hero, Harrison Dunk, his name keeps cropping up, doesn't it? 3 goals in his last 6 matches towards the end of the season. And year after year after year, this bloke just proves all the doubters wrong. I'm not one of those doubters, but, you know, he's seen off lots of competition. You know, he's picked up injuries and always recovers. And, you know, if you think back, especially when you look at Harrison Dunk this season, he's again proved that he's an established League One player. And it's no coincidence that the U's turn in form came in the first game that Harrison Dunk returned in after his injury, which he picked up on Boxing Day. So that first game back, 1st of April, up at Port Vale. United win the game 2-0. Don't look back, but Harrison Dunk, what an absolute legend he is.
Hello, this is Russ Greaves, Cambridge United author, message board moderator, perennial optimist, often right but never smug. Hero of the season, the Burton goalkeeper, not the one who played against us, but the one who played on the last day of the season and saved, I think it was 476 shots. He's a contender, but I can't look past Harrison Dunk. I know you guys have done a lot of talking about Harrison Dunk and are almost running out of things to say. It might just be reduced to sort of orgasmic noises when the name's mentioned, because the guy's incredible. And to pop up in the moments that he did this season, obviously I mentioned Accrington earlier and him scoring there. I've mentioned the Peterborough game and you know, he scored there. And then he goes and does it on the final game of the season as well. You know, it is, it's better than any script. I'm so disappointed I've resorted to that cliche, but it really is. You could write it, but it stretches credibility. You know, just phenomenal. I mean, he's the hero just generally, not just of this season. Harrison Dunk is just a general hero.
Of course it had to be Harrison Dunk. We are going to hear his name quite a lot throughout this podcast. Swindle, why have you gone for Dunk?
It's just kind of that kind of, not a redemption story, because he never did anything wrong, but I think he's been written off so many times, like repeatedly, even really from like when we were in the conference, and he just continues to like prove people wrong. And in the back end of this season, it isn't just the goals, it's the performances, you know, both going forward and defending. He was really important for us and just proved his worth, and kind of does it in a kind of pretty gracious style as well. Like, I like the fact that he's squeaky clean, good looking, good, clean football player, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I just, yeah, I've got a lot of time for him. Go for a coffee with him, I reckon. Harrison, if you're listening.
George, anything to add?
Is he trained to be a lawyer? Is he on his way to being a lawyer? I'm just thinking, like, earlier in the pod, you said you were most likely to go to prison. I'm just trying to think of, like, a scenario in, like, 10 years' time where he gets you off the hook somewhere.
Tom, you should get his number as well.
Yeah.
we're gonna do an award show in 10 years time where, yeah, like, you guys didn't go to jail.
He could probably help us with the mountains of libel cases that we're fighting off of a shitty stick in the next few years.
Have they got Zoom in HMP Belmarsh? I'm sure they do, don't they? Yeah, Jordan, anything to add on Harrison, hero of the season?
Just on this topic, I have to do 2 quick honourable mentions to Sinead Lynch and Fiona Caspel for being real heroes and letting Matt and I go to games this season. But yeah. Just back to Dunk, who's going to get a statue, whereas Sinead's not. Just to echo what Swindle said, what a story, kind of like Phoenix from the flames. At the end of the season, someone who's very in the know, but I won't name their name, was chatting with Tom and I and told us that they actually thought in January that he would never play again. With the injury that he got, so.
Oh really?
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Well, you wouldn't. You were in America, So you missed.
I was in America.
You missed the pub session.
Yeah, I was.
Tom's looking really confused if you don't remember this. There's probably a reason for that. But trust me, Tom, it happened. It happened. But yeah, to sort of go from broken to hero, it's such a turnaround. And yeah, it's not just the goals, it's not just the performances, but I think there's that added element that year on year, since we've been in this division, where we sort of lost some of sort of the heroes that either got us promoted from League Two or even heroes from the conference years. And you know, we talked about Taylor moving on, so we're losing another one. To the fact that we still got one part of the squad is really, really special. And the fact that he's not only part of the squad, but he's a really functioning part of it, just makes that whole story more of a fairy tale. So yeah, I really, really hope he signs his contract extension and we've got him for another year and he can chase down that all-time appearance record.
I was going to ask, next year, do you expect him to be first name, first choice left back next year?
I honestly do think we should be targeting a left back in the summer. But I think that's probably just a reflection of how the recruitment team did this summer at left back as well as central midfield. But we'll talk about that later. Although Tom said it's fine going into the season with four centre mid, so I'm probably just going to be wrong, aren't I?
So there you go. There's your hero of the season, Harrison Dunk, as voted for by, well, let's be honest, in our hearts, all of us.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, no one's going to be disagreeing with that. So there you go. Dunk's got the first two awards. Next up is villain of the season. Tom, let's start with you.
Well, Julian,
your again, nomination. He wasn't calling you the villain. Yeah, yeah. Just to clarify,
I've gone again slightly off piste with this, and I guess I'd like to, not sure, congratulate's the right word.
Commiserate.
It's gone against Will Norris. he's having a hard time on this pod. Let's be honest.
Talking about, we all just said we should sign him.
I wouldn't mind signing him. I'll put it out there now, but. Yeah, I mean, him walking into the NRE or walking into the goal in front of the NRE at the Abbey when we played Posh. Yeah, that was quite the reception. And if ever a derby needed a pantomime villain, which was, you know, I guess, first and foremost, the aforementioned Mr. Ferguson or Mr. Zakwane as well, who has recently come to light.
Wanker.
Thanks, RJ.
Very eloquently put there, Busman.
Yeah, I mean, look, a guy that we, you know, sort of, I think it's fair to say we gave him a career. We kind of made him, I guess. Played a massive part in his development to see him playing for them. It was a bit of a kick in the teeth. It, you know, it's understandable because of what, you know, the sort of direction his career has taken over the last few years, which, you know, I guess unfortunately for him has seen him not playing too much football. But yeah, you know, he's also my hero as well, so I'm a little bit I'm a little bit conflicted. I mean, he more than made up for it in the playoff semi-final second leg. so credit to him. And I mean, you know what? I just can't think of a funnier scenario than us re-signing him, going to London Road, and him saving a penalty.
Can you imagine just the contrast in reception he'd get if he signed for us in the derby next year, both from our fans and their fans?
I mean, it's a good thing, and like it's an interesting one because I feel like, you know, certainly in recent years that there haven't been too many examples of players who have kind of played for both. I guess the difference in leagues has obviously had a bit of a part to play in that, and you know, obviously that's a gap that's now closed. So you know, we might see it change a little bit, but yeah, I mean, can you imagine him walking into NRE in a Cambridge shirt next time? It'd be sorry, Will. We didn't
always
mean any of that.
Loved you, mate. Always,
yeah, we were talking
you.
About a different Norris. We didn't mean to.
Oh,
call
Will. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But yeah, there we have it. Will Norris, hero and villain. So bit up and down, but you know, all's well that ends well, I guess.
Oh, it's not cut and dry, is it? Swindle, your nomination.
Another keeper. And we spoke about the Burton keeper who became a hero. The villain for me is Jordan Amissa, who was in goal when we travelled to Burton on that Wednesday afternoon.
I went there, mate.
And it just...
It feels like a lot happened whilst you were in LA.
Yeah, loads. Yeah.
Funny time to
this
go on holiday.
One I wasn't gutted about missing, by the way.
Yeah.
This one I was delighted.
So I don't frequent many away days. And yeah, I've got lovely friend James Parrish drove us all the way there. And we had a lovely journey up. And he was just, he's the type of player you would love to have. He's a complete shithouse and he played pretty well.
Who, James Parrish?
Yeah, complete shithouse. No, a misser. He played really well and just every time he got the ball, fall to the floor, he was time-wasting, he was getting in the fans and it just, and he got me, you know. I fell for it, hook, line and sinker. But who's a real winner?
Well, they stood up as well, I suppose. But yeah. Again, I was watching this one on the telly. I don't know if I mentioned that I was away. The save he made from Smith right at the end. Summertime Smith. It looked a blinder from the telly. I mean,
it looked a blinder from in the stadium. I mean, I was celebrating. It looked like it went in.
It was also like a really annoying save because, whilst hypocrite warning, because I'm not the thinnest of people. bear with me.
You're harsh on yourself, mate. I think.
Well, I'm trying. But the goalkeeper, he's tall, but he's quite. He's a bit sort of rounded. He didn't strike me as being very acrobatic. Mm-hmm. And so for him to then pull off that save just was a little bit extra annoying because you kind of like couldn't see it working until it actually happened.
You know what it gives me? It gives me really big Brendan Kiernan vibes.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah,
reserve striker, not played all season, bags a hat-trick. Reserve goalkeeper, not played all season, manages to pluck one out of the top corner.
Was it his first ever game? He's like a youth player on loan from like a higher division, I think. And I don't think he's played.
I haven't done enough prep.
I think he's played 12 games in his career.
Can you research that?
He's played 12 games in his career.
So you're telling me you spent the whole flight back from LA not doing research?
I looked it up on the way back from Burton. I remember in the car. Because it was a horrible car journey home. Because Burton is mental.
Don't have a go at James Parrish.
No. Burton's a mental stadium. And the car park in there needs to be sorted out pronto if we're going to go there next season. And we were stuck in the car park for... How long was we stuck in that car park for, Jordan?
A couple of minutes.
Okay.
Felt like a lifetime. Tom, yeah, your reaction after Burton apparently wasn't particularly best pleased with the performance.
I tell you what, the person who runs Tom's Twitter account is my villain of the year. You need to sack that guy. Person managing your tweets is... Oh, they've had a shocker.
I knew it'd be fine.
Brilliant. Let's move swiftly on. Jord, a bit more of a... Well, introduce. Do you want to introduce your villain of the season?
Yes, my villain of the season is Sean Derry.
Brilliant. you really can interpret these categories in any way you like, but we've gone pretty left field of all of these so far.
So I've gone with Sean Derry because people probably remember he had a term that he used quite a lot. It's a perfectly valid term, but he used it so many times it kind of became quite grating, and it definitely was grating this season at points, wasn't it? So the term is fine lines, football cliche and all that. And yeah, so the reason I wanted to throw that in the mix as villain of the season is there was a lot of instances this season, a lot at home, but also some away, where that term fine lines got bandied about quite a lot. Understandably, it just was a real punch to the gut. So what I mean by this is sort of losing by a one goal margin. I probably should have counted how many times we did that this season, but off the top of my head, I can think of about 7 or 8.
Yeah. I'm not sure we can blame Sean Derry for that.
No, but he's just a villain full stop.
Come on.
I mean, I've got plenty of reasons to dislike Sean Derry, as we all have.
I think
wanted to angle this topic in, Tom.
I think it's like Sean Derry as a concept rather than Sean Derry as a man.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're more than happy to just criticise both those.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, no, but your point is, I think, unless I'm hearing it wrong, it's more like the Fleetwood game, the FGR game, losing these games by these...
So these are games that last year we wouldn't have lost. Yeah. I'm not saying we would have won them, but we certainly wouldn't have lost. So those ones you've just listed off were all away from home. There's then an even longer list of home games, you know, Portsmouth, Cheltenham, Port Vale, Accrington. So many games at home this season where we've lost by a single goal. A lot of those games, 1-0, Borough away was another one. And it just, I think if we're looking back at the season and where things perhaps didn't go as well, this is a big area for the management to look at next year and try and work out why we were competitive in games but ended up with so many zeros rather than ones or threes, because we did it so well the season before. So I don't know, an inability to reach the levels that we've been getting for the last couple of years might be something. Maybe it's complacency around both players and training. Maybe the fact that we're changing assistant manager might be something that freshens that up in the summer. Who knows? But yeah, that's my villain of the season. It's a collective, but if we have to put a face on it, it'd be Sean Derry.
What do you think it was in that period? You personally, I mean, I know we've sort of spoken about this a few times throughout the season as we sort of went through that run that I mentioned earlier, 14 mm-hmm. points from 27. What was it, you know, in your mind, is there one thing that you can point to that we did differently this year to last that in that period we just never managed to execute properly?
I think we got caught in this kind of sort of cycle where we weren't getting the results, and there are probably numerous factors as for why we weren't getting those results, and we'll touch on them later, things like recruitment and injuries. But we got stuck in this cycle where we weren't getting the results, and then that knocks confidence, and then you just kind of get stuck in this rut. Whereas the two previous years, that always seemed to be something that we were quite quick to bounce out of. You know, if something went wrong, we responded and we went again next week and we were better. So I think it's that whole kind of cycle. I do think there is something in the whole, you know, teams and team setups definitely have a lifespan, and perhaps things do need to be freshened up. And again, we'll touch on recruitment later, but maybe we didn't have enough of the right personnel in for long enough. I don't think it was complacency or effort from the players or the management. I think sometimes that just naturally happens without anyone doing anything wrong. So this isn't the pod to talk about the summer and planning for next season. We will definitely have lots of those before the season kicks off. But it is a real big summer, possibly the biggest one for Bonner and his management career to date. But we kind of have to reset and go again. And I'm hopeful that lessons are learned around the club about, you know, what went on, not only in the summer, but for good chunks of the season. So
I just, yeah, really quickly, I just think really good points from Jordan. He mentioned injuries. I think we missed Adam May so much. I think that's a huge part of why our season kind of, we were vacant in the middle of the park for so many games this season. Like, it was just, we were overrun so many games, even when we were trying to change it around, you know, changing formation. We missed that linchpin.
And I wouldn't, you know, we went into a season with in those positions, four centre mids, as we mentioned, Digby, May, Simper and Warman. Simper and Warman being two young players, building up experience. We shouldn't be relying on players like Simper and Warman to have to play back-to-back-to-back League One games.
Well, if you wanted to get 30
games, yeah.
I never said it was a good thing. I never said it'd stay up or down. I just thought that I did, you know, I actually, obviously I was miles off the mark, but if you actually listen to my reasoning, I was pretty close. I said that we'd get an injury and Simper would have to fill in and he'd be competent, but not necessarily, I don't think that's the right answer.
Do you think we suit more the underdog role? So like last year, so our first year in League One, and even the year before that where we got promoted, no one really backed us.
Yeah.
Whereas last season, you think Port Vale at home, they've just been promoted.
Yeah.
Bristol Rovers at home, just promoted. You know, Accrington, tiny budget at home. These are games that we should be running and dominating and we should be winning. And actually, maybe we fluffed our lines because of, you know, the expectation was different and people were more prepared for us. They were more prepared for the small pitch and they basically...
They sort of figured us out.
We the whole reason this season maybe went so badly was because we're a known entity and people had done their homework and we were easier to play against. Yeah.
And if you listen to sort of, you know, neutral commentators on our divisions, if, you know, not the top 20 we've mentioned before, Brilliant Pod.
Big Gab Sutton.
They all predicted a sort of 15th, much the same, 15th, 14th comfortable League One finish. And when you listen to our pod last year, as I did yesterday, we were in a similar mind frame in the summer. It's easy to forget what sort of how...
Tom and I weren't. Predicted 19th, mate.
But you were both very confident about things as well. Like, you know, you mentioned that you were pretty happy going in with the four centre mids. Like, we weren't like in a... We were all pretty happy with what was happening in the summer, I think. So, I'm not saying... Well...
The summertime UTAS is very positive.
Yeah, it's a positive place. But yeah, I think your point is right. Tom, do you think there's anything in... Do you think there's anything, and maybe there was a lack of leadership in this period to sort of to change that mindset back to what we'd been so successful in, and to sort of play games on our terms a bit more?
I think it was all a little bit of a kind of chain reaction in some ways. Like, you know, Swindle's absolutely right to say that not having Adam May, who was obviously a massive player for us in our first season in League One, and obviously fingers crossed will continue to be a big player for us over the next couple of years. It's absolutely fair to say that missing him is a big thing. And then I guess you can go two ways with it. The first one is not only the impact it had of missing a player of that quality, but also the impact it had on someone like Paul Digby, who, you know, you talk about leadership. He's obviously the captain. He should obviously, be the example of that. And I think, to be honest with you, like through no fault of his own, it did have a detrimental impact on his own game. And, you know, he's obviously been absolutely crucial for us over the last couple of years. And I think we saw when he's maybe going through a tough patch, or his role on the team has to change in terms of his sort of, you know, the tactical side. Obviously, he's always going to be a leader in the squad, but we saw the negative impact that has, and we can go back to the sort of summer recruitment, and we obviously had O'Neill as well. Hindsight has obviously taught us that it maybe wasn't the best idea to obviously rely on his fitness, but I think, we can talk about injuries and that sort of stuff, but yeah, I think, what was that, 14 points from 27 games? Your form can't drop that much just because Adam May gets injured. Yeah, there's a bigger thing there, which is, look, we stayed up and fundamentally that was our aim, but I think it's important to remember that there was too much of the season was just nowhere near good enough. And I think, a lot of that did come down to the way the team was set up, let's call a spade, like the way the manager was, or in some instances, wasn't able to impact the game that was happening in front of him. Thankfully, everything kind of worked out in the end. But I think that's got to be a big area to basically improve on this summer. That is improving the quality of the squad, but also how can we develop ourselves as a League One team that isn't just, little old Cambridge trying to scab points here and there? How can we... Sounds a bit bleak, to be honest, but how can we become like a Shrewsbury in this league?
I'd love to be a Shrewsbury.
We can, the ground's a bit shit, but, yeah. They're an established League One team. How can we become like a Fleetwood, for example?
Without the dodgy...
Fraud, yeah, that's how. Yeah.
Fucking hell, our lawyers are going to be busy.
Harrison. Phone, mate.
But yeah, look, I mean, obviously there's big things to work on, and, I guess the stats will speak for themselves on these things. And, the way we stayed up was obviously jubilant, but I just hope that doesn't paper over cracks in terms of things that do need to be improved and do need to be looked at. Changing Waddock is an interesting one. We obviously mentioned fresh ideas a couple of times. You're going to have fresh personnel coming into the squad. The team's going to look very different. So, you'd like to think that moving forward, there is a bit of an improvement there. And obviously we know now beyond any doubt that the quality in the squad and, to be honest with you, the budget has to be improved. And that is something that hopefully is going to allow us to compete at a better level. And in these games that you mentioned, Jordan, like Accrington and Port Vale and those sorts of games, I think you're absolutely right to say that the onus is obviously on us, especially at home, to go out and kind of impose ourselves on these teams. And that's been something we struggle with as well, is just simply chance creation.
Yeah, in this period especially. So I was just about to...
I don't even think it's just been in this period. I think it's been, a theme of the last couple of years, to be honest. We've always kind of outshot our XG. We did it in the League Two promotion year. Obviously these things ended up in great results, but I think that's something I'd like to see improved as well, is just how can we create more chances? And obviously, when you're playing like a Port Vale at home, it's inevitable if you create a couple of chances, you're going to beat a team like that. But I don't remember, the game's obviously a long time ago now, but it was one of those games where you just kind of feel like we just weren't able to impact it properly. No. And so you look, there's things to work on, as with any of these things, it's always going to be X, Y, Z reasons. But fundamentally, I think we know from that period that things have just got to kind of improve a little bit and have got to be starting from a base that is a little bit higher next season, both in the squad and also in the way we actually kind of manage these things, I think.
It's funny, isn't it? We sort of brought the tone down a little bit, but it is important. Something me and George were talking about in the week when we were prepping for this pod is like, it's obviously fundamentally we've been successful. Ultimately, we've done what the aim of the season was, and I suppose the means to the end sort of shouldn't matter. But it'd be mental to sit here, do a sort of end of season award/review of the season, and not mention how turgid and bad so much of the season was, especially, I mean, you know, me and Tom travelling to away games with Casper and stuff from London, like spending some of those games that you're spending big money on trains and you're getting nothing back. I'm thinking about like Barnsley away, for example, who, you know, by no means a bad team. They're in the playoff final this weekend, but you're just looking at like a level of performance, and you make a really good point about chance creation as well, which I think is a pretty good general theme. And I look at someone like James Brophy. I don't want to sit here and just, you know, dig the guy out, but I mean, his numbers are terrible for the position that he plays in, and he's playing much, much better now on this right hand side, I think, towards the end of the season with Bennett supporting, and he's obviously a very exciting player as well. But yeah, big things to work on in that respect. My villain is actually whoever snapped Adam May's knee, so I think we've covered that pretty well. Something else we've just touched on there is the summer recruitment, which we've just had a bit of a chat about. But let's have a listen to Matt Caspell's nomination for this award, which is exactly that, and hear why he thinks the summer recruitment is the villain of the year.
My pink jacket villain of the season award goes to, it's a bit of a cop-out really, goes to our summer recruitment, I think. Some mistakes were made. I'm sure the boys will discuss it in more detail. Biggest mistake for me, obviously, is the fact that it felt like Cole Stockton was definitely available and we didn't just go and nab him. For sure he would have scored 20 to 30 goals at least.
Let's run through a few of our guests' suggestions. Russ Greaves has gone for Darren Ferguson. I think we can all agree.
Absolutely fair enough, I think.
Sort of a villain all of the time. Max Rushton has gone for Barry Fry can have it. He wasn't really that interested in naming a villain. Doug's gone for Michael Smith. This is an interesting one, actually, because I didn't have a great
the
memory.
Darts player.
Not the darts player. No.
Bully boy.
Bully boy.
We can't have this. We can't have anyone that contributed to that comeback for Sheffield Wednesday.
No, it's not because of that. It's not because of that.
Is it because he scored a hat-trick against us?
It's because he scored two against us, two and against the challenge us. On Mitov in the home game injured him for 3 months, and he should have been off for it, apparently. But I think, again, that was down the Southampton end. So
it was Southampton,
so I think we'd have had... Did anything happen up the New York?
I can't remember anything.
There was actually a period of time where I think we went like several months without scoring a goal in front of the NRE.
Yeah, yeah.
To answer your question.
Several months without scoring
360 quid for a season.
For a long time, the answer was no to that question. Nothing happened.
Mitov played on that game, though, as well. That was weird.
He did, yeah.
And their second goal, if he wasn't injured, maybe he could have saved.
That's a good point. I'd forgotten about that. Matt Ramsey's gone for Keith Stroud, who was the ref at Milton Keynes away, which we'll talk about in a bit. And Owen's gone for, the villains are always John Howard and Gary Harwood for stealing the ground from us 20 years ago. I think, again, something we can all agree with. The winner of this award is to do with an injury, but it's whoever injured Harrison Dunk, whenever that was, and taking him out of the squad for a couple of months.
Bastard.
Collecting the award on their behalf is Harrison Dunk.
Dunk. Correct. Yeah. So that's just one, two. That's three and three there for H. Before we end this first part, Jord, we've sort of already touched a little bit on Dunk, but let's do a little bit more on Harrison Dunk, because probably haven't talked about him enough in the past few weeks. Did it surprise you just how... Did you have any idea how actually integral he might be to this side before that spell out and that return? Because if you look at his return, Port Vale away, and the form since then, I'm asking, is it a coincidence or is it age?
Honestly, on the pitch, I'm really surprised. I didn't think he would have that impact. I thought he might have the kind of impact on the squad in and around the dressing room and on the training pitch, but definitely not on the pitch itself. I think there was always going to be questions around whether he could cut the mustard at League One. I think some of us wrote him off the season before as not being sort of League One standard. But yeah, really surprised by how much he's sort of rejuvenized the squad. I don't think it's just him. I think there was the coming together of sort of other players that are either picked up in January or sort of coming back from sort of loans or injury and stuff like that. But it was kind of sort of the centre of that sort of storm of things coming together. And I think it's that whole being a Cambridge guy, like a Mr. Cambridge United, is kind of sort of was the forefront of all of that.
Brilliant. Brilliant way to round off part one, I think. A bit more on Harrison Dunk in the second part, which you'll get as a separate episode.